Professor Solberg has written about the University of Illinois during the turn of the last century, but he's also made a study of the controversy that shook the university half a century ago. Child psychologist George Stoddard came to the U of I from New York in 1946, where he'd served as state commissioner of education. Solberg says Stoddard was seen as a large upgrade from his predecessor, Arthur Willard, who was seen as having made poor choices as an administrator.
Stoddard's a very well-recognized figure. He's on the UNESCO, a cultural United Nations education, social and cultural organization. He was on President Truman's Commission of Education that went out to set up the educational system in Japan. He is a very prominent person, and he comes here with ringing in his mind the statement made by the president of the University of Minnesota that the University of Illinois is a sleeping giant that's about to waken up.
Solberg also says Stoddard was a faculty man with 17 years teaching experience at the University of Iowa. But Solberg says he also moved too fast to expand academics once at the U of I.
He rejuvenated the College of Business, College of Commerce, which included the Department of Economics. That thing blew up in his face. Stoddard was responsible for creating at Illinois one of the best economics departments in the country at that time, particularly among state universities. Most of those people left when Stoddard was fired.
Another controversy that would dominate Stoddard's time at the U of I was that of a purported cure for cancer. Solberg says that helped seal the president's fate with the Board of Trustees.
There was a vice president of the medical school by the name of Dr. Ivey, Andrew S. Ivey. Ivey presumably had written a lot of research papers. They're jointly authored. He's a man with a big ego, as many types are. He got involved with the Durovic brothers, some emigres from Yugoslavia, who had a horse serum type of medicine called crobiazin that they peddled as a cure for cancer. And Ivy, I think, tied into that. And so this was a very nasty business, too. Stoddard let it run for a long time, and he finally said, there will be no more of that. I put a halt to these experiments and so forth. I think he moved much too late, not much too quickly. But that movement had got caught up with Illinois and particularly West Side Chicago politics.
Solberg says Stoddard was also criticized by trustees for frequently leaving town on business trips.
And at one point, the board had to say, you've got to stay home more and mind the store. His response was, well, I work very hard. I get more done in a day than most people do because I put in more hours. But a president who is so insensitive that a board has to remind him to stay home and watch the shop more is not very attentive to his own best interests. The point I'm making then is Stoddard had aroused so much antagonism for so long that many of the board were waiting for him. I think he antagonized much if not most of his board, maybe not all of it. Stoddard is essentially a liberal in politics, and he's dealing with a board of trustees who's very, very conservative.
Solberg says the animosity against Stoddard grew and led to a 6-3 no-confidence vote by trustees meeting behind closed doors in 1953. In an interview with former trustees president Park Livingston, Solberg says he asked him why the board didn't conduct formal hearings to judge whether Stoddard was fit to go on.
He said, we couldn't do it that way. If you're going to kill an enemy, you've got to do it very swiftly. I'm not sure that was his language, but that's the basic thought. So they had this midnight meeting on the night of July 24th. Most of the professors are either out of town or not involved with the university closely. The students are not on the campus. Most of the members of the Board of Trustees didn't know what the agenda on the meeting was. I think they met at 8:30 as a committee of the whole and then went into an executive session. Just before midnight, they called Stoddard in and told him that he had been asked to go. They wanted his letter of resignation. Park Livingston once told me, he said, that he and Stoddard were out on a boat. And Livingston asked Stoddard what he craved most, what he would like most in the world. And Stoddard thought for a while and said, to be liked by other people. And Livingston thought that was such a feminine, cowardly response. He just had contempt for it. I cite this merely to suggest the deep antagonism between two men who had at one time work together in a common enterprise.
The minutes for that midnight meeting say absolutely nothing about what transpired. Professor Solberg says there are rumors that the original no-confidence motion was made by one-time U of I trustee and football hero Harold Rudd Grange, but says Park Livingston told him that no motion was made at all. Solberg says Stoddard's forced resignation caused a deep scar on campus, particularly among faculty who had recently come to teach in Urbana. And Solberg says the interim president, U of I comptroller Lloyd Morey, worked well with the trustees but alienated some faculty. As for Stoddard, he went on to spend 12 years at New York University, four of them as chancellor. And Solberg says, judging from a 1961 interview he conducted with Stoddard, the former U of I president had moved on and didn't hold a grudge against the trustees. George Stoddard died in 1981 at the age of 84. He was not only a noted educator, but the author of over a dozen books, including Krabiocin, The Great Cancer Mystery, in which he described his ouster from the U of I. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.